Amen. All right, secondly, all right, you be here all week because Mom and I got to run tomorrow. We've got to go to Virginia. Our pastor's wife died, and the funeral is Tuesday afternoon, okay? I'll be right back Tuesday night, okay? I'll be right back. God my helper, I'll be right back Tuesday night. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's going to be back to me again, okay? Now, what ain't broke, don't fix. So we're going to stay right on this thing. As long as I'm here, I'm going to stay right on that thing, okay? I just wanted you to know that, all right? Now, that don't mean you get tomorrow night off. Okay? You don't get tomorrow night off, okay? Some of your loved ones already took tomorrow night off last week. So that means you get to come every night this week. I know things come up and all that kind of stuff. Okay, but I'm just saying, okay? Just saying. Be faithful to your God because He is faithful to you. Anybody still breathing? God is faithful. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, please. Let's do this first. Can you say the verse? Come on, after a week, can't you say the verse? For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. 2 John 2, right? All right, now turn to it. For you loved ones that couldn't quote it yet, I'm sure glad to see all of you. Thank God you're here. Amen. I'm glad you're here. 2 John verse 2. You there? All right. Stick one finger there and then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for the message. Simple message this morning. Simple. Nothing you ain't already heard how many times. Amen. I want you to hear it again. 2 John. Let's stand together. 2 John verse 2. God's Bible says these words to you and I this morning again. He said this all week long, hasn't he? For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. I want to bring you one of them truths this morning. 1 Corinthians now chapter 2. 1 Corinthians now chapter 2. I want to bring you a simple little thought. Starting in verse 7. 2:7 of 1 Corinthians says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, look at your Bible closely, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Do you see that verse? He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Look at this statement Paul made. But we have the mind of Christ. Preacher, how can we have the mind of Christ? Because we've got the Holy Ghost. Does the Holy Ghost not know Jesus? Do you have the Holy Ghost? Are you saved this morning? born again, blood bought, heaven bound, then you have the mind of Christ. Ain't that a mind-boggling thought? That we have the mind of God Almighty living inside of us. It just wipes me out. Think of that. I can understand salvation now. And that's what I'm going to preach to you about. Understanding salvation. Let's look at it for a little while. Father, Lord, I'm not the only one preaching today. There's a lot of men preaching today, God, and teaching. Lord, my Mississippi men are just getting started in Sunday school. My Rocky Mountain men ain't even there yet, Lord. And my California folks, they ain't even hardly got their breakfast ate yet. So the gospel marches west. From Lord over there, that international timeline, west, my Lord, west, my Lord, west, my Lord. And now it's in America. South America. Canada. And it's keeping going, God. And it'll go jump the creek and get into Hawaii and then the islands, Lord. And Sunday will be over. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to convict and save the lost everywhere and instruct and help the righteous everywhere and do it all to thy honor, glory, and praise. I ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen, my family. Amen. You may be seated, family. I want you to look, if you will, please, at what God Almighty said in this Corinthians text. He said in the 9th verse, the eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, neither enter into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Hath prepared for them. We was talking this morning, the preacher was talking this morning, wasn't he, about heaven and how it's going to be. And we can't really fathom how it's going to be. We know by what the Word of God says about, you know, the street of gold and the gate of pearl and the Savior, the throne and God the Father and all of that. Can you imagine what we're going to see when we get home? It's an amazing thought. But God Almighty says, you know what? That eye ain't seen, the ear heard about, even in the heart of man, what's there. And a lot of times, my dear family, we and there's nothing wrong with this, okay? We look towards that and we enjoy the thought of that and we're looking forwards to that. That's a fact. But we're so concentrated on the destination that we forget the journey. We're not there yet. You hear me? We're not in heaven yet. In case you don't know it, this ain't heaven. Goodness, no. You said, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, salvation has a lot more meaning than just getting out of going to hell. It has a lot to do with living. Because once you and I get saved by the grace of God, we finally get a liver. His name's the Holy Ghost. He lives in us. He glorifies Jesus Christ. Again, according to John 16, He never speaks of Himself. He always glorifies Christ. You can tell the crowd, my dear family, that have salvation, there's a difference about them. There's something about them that's unique and strange and wonderful and unexplainable. You said, well, listen, can you explain salvation to me? And I'll say, no. Well, why not? You're saved. I know I'm saved. I'm heaven bound, but I'm just telling you flat out, I don't have the vocabulary to explain salvation to you. And even if I was a college graduate, which I am not, all right? This is a funny now, okay? Don't throw your boots at me. Even if I had a theological doctor's degree, all right? I still couldn't explain salvation. It's an experience that you have to get a hold of in order to be able to even think about it right. But it's not just a destination change. Salvation, my dear family, brings you a deliverance. You and I were hooked up in the world before we got saved by the grace of God. I mean, we were bad. We were condemned already because of our unbelief. If you was like me, you thought church was just for old sick people about to die. Honestly, that's what I thought the whole time I was growing up as a boy. I thought, well, you know, as soon as I get old, sick, and gray-headed or whatever, then I'll get a hold of somebody about God. But dear family, listen to me. The more and more and more you think about what God Almighty did for you, it's a great deliverance. Man being Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Now, a lot of folks don't believe that verse. They'll quote it and holler it and all kinds, but they don't believe it. They're like the political world. They'll find something you did 403 years ago to bring back at your face. But God Almighty don't. God Almighty delivers you from the past. Corinthians text declares that, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, who had delivered us from so great a death. Now, I've heard advertisements about some stupid show on TV that's The Walking Dead. Now, I never watched it. I ain't gonna watch that kind of trash, save your life. But I heard there's a show like that on there, and I don't understand all that's about it. But I'm just telling you flat out, you and I were that. You and I were walking dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We had no hope and no help, and we were without God in this world. We were without God and without hope. We could get as religious as we wanted to be and still die without God. We could turn over every new leaf in the forest and still die without God. We could change every way we wanted to change outwardly and still die without God. Before God delivered us from all of that was salvation. Not only was it a past tense deliverance from death there, but that verse also says, and doth deliver. Now we're starting to understand. It ain't just a one-time prayer that sets us for eternity. If you're trusting in a prayer this morning, you best read your Bible better. It ain't the prayer that saves nobody. There have been a lot of good prayers made out by their family, but I'm telling you flat out, prayer won't save you. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Well, I prayed this prayer at 12 years old, I got saved. I don't know how many 12-year-old salvations I've met in 40 plus years. Never lived for God. Never done nothing for the Lord. Never were faithful to the house of God. Lived a horrible, if you will please, secular life. But you question about salvation, they got saved at 12. So, preacher, why was that? Well, Jesus was 12 when they caught him back there in the temple, did he not, when he went back after him? So a lot of religions will tell you at 12 years old is the time when you can get saved. But I'm here to tell you right now, the time you understand is the time you get saved. I know a guy named John Anderson said he got saved at 5. And he has lived for God his entire life. Since 5. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If anybody be in Christ, they're new creatures. Even a kid is a new creature once again saved by the grace of God. And what you and I got to understand, my dear family, to understand salvation, we got to understand deliverance. He did deliver. He doth now deliver. And he shall deliver. One of these days, we're going to be delivered up to the Lord. We trust he will yet deliver us. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. Men is going to meet their doom. But not us. Why? Because our God is going to come back and get us. Going to take us away from this body we live in. I'm going to get a new one. I'm going to get one that don't hurt so bad. I'm going to get one with no arthritis. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. No arthritis. Hallelujah. He said, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trusting this salvation that God gave me, this gift of God through Jesus Christ, is going to deliver me one of these days. I've done been delivered, and I'm being delivered right now. Now, preacher, what are you being delivered from right now? Myself. Listen to me. You know what my old nature wants to do? Lay down and cry. So why? Because it's tough sometimes getting up and getting out and getting over it and getting over it. It's tough sometimes. But you just force yourself to get up, don't we, men? Got to go to work in the morning, huh? Ladies, some of you work. Got to go to work in the morning. So you don't want to. But you get up and go. A lot of times our old nature don't want nothing to do with God. Our old nature hates God. But yet, by the time we overcome Him, because greater is He that's in us than He that's in this world. So we overcome that and we get delivered from ourselves and we go to God and say, Lord, because I'm saved, I'm going to love You and be faithful to You. And you make up your mind to do such. Go with me to Psalm 119. Let me give you three simple little places to look at and then we're going to go to the house. Psalm 119, starting in verse 34. I want you to see something here. Number one, to understand salvation, you must realize that it brings a purpose to your life. We are in an awful, it ain't a pandemic no more. It ain't an epidemic no more. But it's a terrible thing going on in our land. You know what it is? Youngins that ain't even lived yet lose their purpose for living. And they're killing themselves by the thousands. Our inner cities in America have no value on life whatsoever. It doesn't bother a 14-year-old boy or a 7 or 8-year-old boy to shoot another 7 or 8 or 10-year-old boy. It doesn't bother them one bit because there's no value on that life. We're living in a land, my dear family, where they're struggling. Way back yonder in the 70s, they decided that a baby was not worth living. So they proceeded to kill off as many babies as they could, and they have ever since that time. He said, preacher, what are you saying? That woman that produced that was trying to get rid of the black population. That's why she invented murdering babies, called abortion. It's wicked. It's out of the pits of hell. And thank God there's some things being done about it, but then there's other places that they invite those over there that did something about it to come to their place and being paid for by taxpayers. I said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that when they lost their purpose of life. Salvation brings you purpose of life. Psalm 119, verse 34 and 35 says, give me understanding, I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Give me understanding, the psalmist said. Why? I need to know why I'm alive. I need to know why I need to stay alive. I need to know why I need to keep going. I need to know why I need God to just go on and do and maybe be an example of a believer. Maybe I'll deal with that before the week's out. An example of a believer. God, why should I do that? What is the purpose, Lord? God did not save us to take us to heaven. He did not save us to keep us out of hell. He saved us to bring honor and glory and praise to His holy name. Hebrews says He tasted death for every man. There ain't nobody exempt from God's love. Ain't nobody exempt from God's salvation. Man exempts himself. But God says, no, I'm not willing that any should perish. I want everybody to repent and come to me and get saved by the grace of God. God did not create us to live and earn money and party and play around and then die and go to hell. He didn't create us for that. He created us for His glory, for His praise, for His honor, that we can live and exalt Him in the day in which you and I live. It gives you a purpose. Salvation brings you a purpose for living. Preacher, I ain't much good. Who says that? Who said you weren't much good? Who infiltrated your brain with that stupid thought? If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, thought you worthy enough to die for, if the Father thought you worthy enough to trade His Son for, if God Almighty decided you was good enough for Him to live in, don't tell me you're useless. You're worth God. Look at me. You've got a purpose. You could house God. Has that ever dawned on you? Preacher, I've been told all my life I ain't no good. You was told all you're no good. But I never heard that from God. God says, I traded my son for you. Jesus says, I died for you. And the Holy Ghost says, I want to move into you. I want to live with you all your life. I want to stay with you forever. How about trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and let me move in? And the Holy Ghost moves in to that one that humbles himself before a thrice holy God and says, God, I'm a sinner. I'm ruined. I'm wrecked of my own accord. And God in heaven, would you forgive me my sin and save me, please? And the Holy Ghost standing right there waiting on you to open the door with repentance and faith. And when you open the door in repentance and faith in Christ, the Holy Ghost moves in and shuts the door behind him. Says, I'm here forever. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to take you and I to heaven. Up through the principality and the powers of the air. Up past the devil's domain. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to lift you and I up out of this thing. Have you ever tried to jump your way to heaven? Can't do it. But there's a Holy Ghost inside of you. He's going to hear the words come up hither one of these days from Jesus. And as the Holy Ghost hears those words, He's going to say, all right, drop this body. Drop this thought. Drop this life. Drop all of this and come. Oh, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard. It ain't even entered into the heart of man what we got waiting on us. But I'm trying to get you to understand how wonderful it is here. Go to Psalm 119, verse 71. Stay with me now. You got a purpose in living. You got a reason to go on, my family. Verse 71 said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. You say, oh, wait a minute now, preacher, wait a minute. No, 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 let's read the Bible. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I told you the other day, troubles sometimes test your faith. Sometimes when it's real difficult, you finally get in the book. You finally get in that Bible and say, dear God, I need an answer. You get on the phone. Preacher, I need an answer. Brother, I need an answer. Honey, I need an answer. You find it when troubles arise, when afflictions arise, my dear family, watch your Bible, verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. What's he saying, preacher? He's saying, listen to me. Gold and silver won't cure your ails. But the Word of God will. The law of God is, the law of God's mouth is way better than that. Oh, this world, you know, money's going to be no good and everything's going to collapse. Get some gold, get some silver, get some gold, get some silver. You know what I think every time I hear that on the radio? With what? What am I going to get gold for? What am I going to get gold with? Preacher, you need to get some, yeah, how much is it an ounce? How many ounces do you suppose I could get on a handshake, Laban? Huh? I live by handshake, okay? I don't have no salary. I just live on handshakes. And whatever I get, I praise the Lord for it. I don't deserve a dime. But in this town, I thank God for every dime. But ain't nothing to buy no gold. And so they talk everybody into trading their cash in for gold or digital money, whatever it is. Did you ever read your Bible? How much a loaf of bread's going to be? You said, preacher, but what are you saying? I'm saying, all right, you get 10 pounds of gold. Well, this loaf of bread is 13 pounds of gold. They set the price. God Almighty, in the book of James, says, woe unto you that are rich. They think they're going to be all right. They're not all right because they ain't got God. Salvation brought us a purpose of life, family. Listen to me, make money. Pay your bills. Praise the Lord. Give God Almighty His share. Sure as you're living. By the way, it's 100% God's anyways. He just lets you keep some. And so you give it to God and you give it to whoever needs it, my dear family. If you see your brother have need, well, how shut it up your bowels of mercies to get him? Give him what he needs and help him along the way. Why, preacher? But if you do that, then I won't have none. No, your day's coming to not have none, and you're going to need him to help you later on. Salvation brings a purpose for living. Secondly, my love, salvation brings you a pathway to greatness. Wouldn't you like to be noted for being great? Well, no, I want to be humble, you know, an old fly on the wall. I don't want nobody to know when I'm here, you know, under the radar, so to speak. Did you ever read your Bible? In the Bible, my dear family, there was a couple of folk, all right? And their adjective was great. This is a great man of God that keeps coming by here. We need to build him a room. We need to build him a place. You need to have a bed and a stool and a table. And we need, because there's a great man of God coming. God called that woman great. And all she did was ask her husband, can we build a place for the preacher? And God called her great. Yeah, we're not talking about being noted in the papers. We're not talking about being on the TV. Even though I was. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a greatness in the eyes of a Father who loved you and sent His Son to die in your place. We're talking about a greatness, my dear family, not only in the eyes of the Father, but in your own heart for a change. Listen to the Word of God, if you will, please. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, God's Bible says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. There's my word again. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding. There it is again. If thou seekest her for as silver, searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You know what salvation does, church? It puts you on a path to greatness. The path to greatness puts you in the Scriptures. Every true child of God is addicted to the Bible. They can't live without it. They don't want to go a day without part of it, at least. My dear family, there are days we're real busy, I understand all that. But we can't go without this Bible. We can't go without eating. We can't go without drinking. We can't go without fellowshipping with God. We can't go without the words of the Lord. And salvation brought me to a path of greatness. I may not be great in the realm of evangelism. I may not be great in man's eyes. But I'm telling you right now, my God is pleased when you and I get in that Bible, then the Holy Ghost puts some understanding on us about how it is, what it should be, what it's going to be, and how we can bless and how we can help mankind all around us. God calls us great. The Bible says in verse 9, then shall I understand righteousness. I did not understand righteousness till I got saved. Now there's a lot of good people, okay, don't get me wrong. But that's not righteousness. Righteousness is not a single act of do good. Righteousness is a life of obedience to God Almighty. Righteousness is not a single act of do good. It's a life of pleasing God. I didn't understand righteousness until I got saved by the grace of God. You said, preacher, how holy are you? Ask God. Preacher, how saved are you? Ask God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. And so as I am a son of God, I read God's Bible, He gives me understanding of what that all entails. I ain't seen, ear ain't heard, it ain't even entered into my heart what's over there yet. But I'm learning what's over here. What's here? In comparison to what was, what is? Come on, look at me, look at me. Compared to what was in my life, I was 27 before I got saved. What is now in comparison to that? I understand it by the Word of God. And I did not understand the Word of God because I was a natural man. Fact. For I was saved, I never read the Bible. It didn't make no sense. spiritually sin. I'm shaming it. I mean, since I got saved by the grace of God, understanding came. I understand. I need to read the Bible. God, I don't know what this means. He said, read on. I'll show you. So I read on and he showed me that. And then I read on and he showed me that. And I read on and he showed me that. And I continually grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Peter. And as I learn this Bible, now I'm understanding why he said what he said to me when I read it. Because now with understanding, stay with me now, with understanding now I can apply it.
Amen.
What I don't understand, I cannot apply. But what I know and understand, I can put to work. I can stick it in them number 10 boots and walk in it now. Because God Almighty, because of salvation, has given me a pathway to greatness. My greatness is not in me. If you can do nothing without me, Jesus said in John 15. But with Jesus Christ, my dear family, you and I can be great. Great in obedience. Great in our love for God. And if we love God, then we automatically love each other. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have loved one another. Preacher, there's some folk I don't love, then you need to check up. We ain't saying we like what to do. We're not talking about the doings. We're talking about who they are. Yeah, but preacher, they say they're saved, but they ain't. Well, how do you know that, Holy Ghost? The pathway to greatness is finally realizing you ain't the Holy Ghost. The only way I can tell who's what, when, and how is by the book. Not by what I look at. If I look... Let's take this fine baby right here, okay? Let's try that. That fine baby right there. Is that baby saved? Safe. S-A-F-E. Not S-A-V-E. How do I know that? Because of what God says in His book. How about the mama? Ba-ba-ba-ba. How about the daddy? Come on. How about grandma and grandpa? How could you tell? By the book. How can I tell who's saved and who ain't? By the Bible. Not by me, but by the Bible. I take the Bible as it is, 1 John, and I can tell how they're living. If it's a consistency, or it's just a spur-of-the-moment thing, or it's just a Sunday thing, or a Christmas and Easter thing, or whatever it might very well be. We look at all that kind of stuff, and we make decisions and judgments, do we not? And the greatness of it all is this. When we finally figure it out by the Bible, whether somebody's in or out, we don't judge them as in or out. Stay with me now. What we do is we say, dear God, you're the only one that knows. So what I'm going to do, God, is this. I'm going to pray that they get saved just in case they ain't. And if they already are, God, I ain't out nothing. Instead of God knock her teeth out, instead of God, break their leg. Put them on the flat of their back, God, so all they can do is look up for you. No, 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 no. No. We never wish ill.
Amen.
On nobody.
Amen.
You said, push it. But there's some folks that deserve. Careful now. You're looking in the mirror. Careful, you're looking in the mirror. What you think they deserve, you and I deserve. Come on, stay with me. I'm talking about what understanding salvation does. It gives you a purpose for life. Secondly, it brings you to a life of greatness. Watch your Bible, verse 11. Proverbs 2:11, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. I understand. I understand salvation. I understand what God's taught me from that Bible by context. From Genesis to Revelation, God the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Ghost the same yesterday, today, and forever. God Almighty wrote it down in this Bible for me. And now, my dear family, I have a purpose of life. I have a pathway to greatness. Number 3, and we're done. Proverbs 15, if you will. Proverbs chapter 15, this number 3 thought is this. That to understand salvation, to realize that I've been delivered, and I am being delivered right now, and I will be delivered later. To understand that my eyes have not seen, and my ears heard, nor to anything in my heart. What we got waiting on us on the onside. But what I know is this, God. Till I get there, I got to live here. What I have to know, God, is this. Until I get home, I have to live on this here foreign land. This world is not our home. You and I are ambassadors for Christ. We have been sent to a Christless world. We have been sent to a God-hating world. In the world of Noah in his day of chapter 6, men were evil only continually. The thoughts of their minds were only evil continually. Boy, are we not there today. But yet Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You and I are living in perilous times according to God Almighty's writings to Timothy. Perilous times shall come. Paul wrote it down. You and I are living in. Perilous times that shall come. You can't tell from one second to the next whether the next guy in the restaurant's got a gun or not. I'm not for no guns. I'm for everybody carrying them out in the open. Everybody. Preacher, that's old Westa. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Only the super bad would dare pull a gun in a room full of guns. Amen. All these signs on, you know, X over the gun. Come on in. We ain't going to shoot you back. Come on in. What a dumb sign. Preacher, you just hillbilly. That's what you like at. No, love, listen to me. When the sissies took over and said, what we need to do is confiscate all the guns so there'll be no more killing. Yeah, right. They never stopped driving cars. Yeah. Now, they tried. They blamed SUVs for things for a while. That's how brain-filled they are. That SUV's a killer. No, it's the goofball behind the wheel. Guns don't shoot. Trigger fingers do. Not guns. They can sit right there forever, never make a move. Pick it up, though. Preacher, what are you going to get at? I'm trying to get you to understand something. Are you listening to me? Preacher, how do you know this kind of stuff? What's in the Bible? See, preacher, it's in the Bible? Yeah. See, you and I have the power. Chapter 15, verse 21, this is what God's Bible says. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. You know a man or a people or whoever that come up with some of the things that folks come up with? Hey, I heard on the news the other day that they're trying to outlaw chocolate milk. I heard that on the news. Too much sugar in chocolate milk for your children. So you child abuser mothers that give your babies chocolate milk, shame on you. Shame on you. Too much sugar. The only thing wrong with a hyper kid is you can sit down. You can fix a hyper kid with just make him so he don't sit down. There is legitimate wildness. But most kids just ain't disciplined. Because some sissy said if you hit that kid, you're abusing him. Well, what about me? I'm my abuse. He won't sleep. He won't stop. He won't shut up. What about my abuse? Now, they'll take your baby and show them pornography in school. But God forbid if they give them chocolate milk first. Come on, am I right or wrong? Look at the verse says again. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. They think they're doing right. But the man of understanding walketh uprightly. What happened to this ain't right? We ain't doing this here. Where did that go? Well, preacher, they passed the law. Whoa. They can't pass a law that supersedes God's law. Yeah, but preacher, they'll put you in jail, so? Preacher, you don't understand it. I mean, they'll take the kids away. Really? Preacher, they will. I know they will. Are you listening to them again? How did this come to pass? Somebody left the ball somewhere. Somebody dropped the ball someplace. Are you listening to me? What? The salvation brings you to sense. Salvation brings you to wisdom, helps you walk uprightly, if you will, please. Proverbs 17, verse 27. This is what God Bible said. I'm hurrying for sake of time. Here we go. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. But a man of understanding, there's my word again, is of an excellent spirit. Church, do you understand salvation? It ain't just to put you in heaven. It's a daily thing that you can enjoy and be a blessing. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is kind of wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm just trying to get you to understand something. You and I have the power to live right because we got saved by the grace of God. We do not have to think like they think. In fact, my love, the Bible says in Ephesians that their imaginations are vain. Their mind is darkened by this world and the imps of this world and the devil, their father of this world. Their minds are darkened. They're alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. They're alienated from the ways of God. They don't understand the truth. But you and I ain't that way. You and I understand and it brings life. Understand it brings greatness and understand it brings the choice. I have a choice now. I can do what my old nature wants or I can do what my new nature wants. I got to look up at my God and say, God, I got a choice. He said, sure. I said, I choose you, Lord. That's yesterday. It's over. You delivered me from that. I need your strength, God. The flesh is weak. He said, okay, so I will deliver you. And God, ain't no telling what tomorrow holds. You said, don't worry about tomorrow. You'll take care of it. God, I don't know what's going on tomorrow. He said, I do. I'm going to deliver you. Do you understand, son, that your salvation is perpetual? Are you ever going to be lost again, boy? No, Lord, I ain't never going to be lost again. He said, all right, now live that way. Live like you ain't never going to be lost again. Don't live to gain. Live because you love. Do you love me, boy? Yes, Lord, I love you. Good, then live like you love me. And that's all Christianity is. It's simply a love relationship between a child of God and his Father. Salvation. Understanding salvation. The eye ain't seen, the ear ain't heard, it ain't entered into my heart. What's coming? But I know what's here. And what's here is a purpose for living. Close your Bibles, family. Purpose for living. What's here is a path to greatness. What's here is the power to live right by choice. I choose God. I choose holiness. I choose righteousness. I choose the ways of the Lord. And my choice was made when I made the ultimate choice to be saved. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was placed before us. June 20th, 1977. And at 8:05 that night, I got down beside of my chair and made a choice. I made a mature choice. I made a rational choice. They didn't talk me into it. They simply said, here it is if you want it. And I'm saying to you, loved ones here, look at me this morning, here it is if you want it. You'll never understand it all until you get saved. You'll never get it figured out without salvation. You'll never be able to even figure out the secular world without salvation. Because while you're in the secular world, lost and undone with your father, the devil, He's going to convince you and deceive you and fool you so he can ultimately destroy you. But once the light's on and you see clearly in the darkness the pitfalls, the snares, the way the devil tries to trip you up constantly, all of a sudden you think better of salvation. All of a sudden you think, my soul, God not only saved me forever, but he saved me today. He saved me this morning. I was going to step off into nothing, but God said, stop. I was going to go in a direction that was not what he would be planning, and God stopped me. See, my dear family, to understand salvation is to appreciate it beyond what you can describe it. I'm not going to ask you this morning if you're not saved. I'm going to ask you this morning with their heads bowed and eyes closed, without shame, without embarrassment, can you praise God with an upraised hand and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me? Some of you's got two hands up. God bless your hearts. God bless you. And you just raised your hands. I want you to pray. Because not everybody's saved on the line out there in the air somewhere, maybe even in this room here. But here's what I want you to do. While my wife comes to sing a verse, I want you that didn't raise your hand right now, I want you to consider this for me, would you please? I wouldn't embarrass you, save your life. But I want to ask the preacher to come up here and stand with me on the platform. And what I want you to do is this. After we dismiss and everybody's chit-chatting, cutting up and being friendly with one another, I want you that couldn't raise your hand to come up here and talk to the preacher. That's what I want you to do. That's all I ask you to do. Because everything I said today, you didn't understand half of it. Because you're not born again. You're not God's child. And God died on the cross, was buried and rose again to save you and make you God's child. And by the way, let me warn you. Everything that's happening in the culture, everything that's happening politically, everything that's happened economically, all that's going on right now outside of the church was wrote down 2,000 years ago by God Almighty. And we're living in it. Mama's going to sing. Maybe you need to just come and thank God you're saved. Maybe if you're brave enough, you come out of that seat and come talk to the preacher and say, preacher, I don't have this salvation. All I ask you to do is obey God. Sing, Mama.
Peace like a river is flooding my soul. Since Christ the Savior has made my life whole, sweet peace abiding my portion shall be. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. I love
understanding salvation.
Jesus, with
gives
all
you a purpose of life.
My heart. I love
who in here is struggling
Jesus
with that thought?
With all of
would
my
you raise your hand?
Heart.
Preacher, I'm struggling with this purpose of my life.
On Calvary, for giving
God bless
me
you.
Victory.
God bless you.
I love the
who
Lord
else?
Jesus.
Preacher, God bless
with
you.
All of
preacher, I'm struggling
heart.
With this purpose of life.
Joy is abounding.
God bless you, sir. And
my
you.
Heart gladly sings, heading toward heaven.
Up here
on
is a Bible
strong wings.
With help.
Christ has
to help explain to you
me, my
that Christ has a purpose for you. That's why you're here.
Jesus, my Savior.
Please don't leave until you talk to one of them. Don't go on in this fear and doubt that you carry.
Lord Jesus, with all of my heart, I love Thee, Lord Jesus.
Why don't you let one of us take you in another room somewhere and help you?
My heart, for dying,
preacher, I'm struggling with the purpose of my life.
For giving me
I don't know what to do.
I
don't know why I bother even living.
Lord Jesus, with all of my heart.
Salvation,
oh, precious,
gives you a purpose.
Jesus, how lovely.
It gives you a pathway to greatness.
Come in,
it gives you the power to make the right choice.
And rule in my heart.
Preacher, I've been making the wrong choices lately.
Fetter,
I haven't been relying on my salvation to help me make the right decisions. Would you remember me in prayer? Would you raise your hand? I've been struggling in my decision making, preacher. God bless you, sir. Who else? God bless you, sister.
With all
who else?
Of my heart,
salvation helps you make, God bless you. Salvation helps you make the right decisions.
Jesus,
step back in your salvation and just wait on God.
For dying on Calvary,
understanding salvation.
For giving me victory,
I have not seen.
I love
ear hath not heard.
Jesus,
it's not entered into our heart. What God has prepared for them that love Him. Preacher, I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't either. But you got to live till you get there. You got to do what God says till you get there. Don't despair. He's coming to get us soon. But until He does, you've got a purpose to live.
Thy face, let me
you've got
see.
A path of greatness in front
Thou
of you.
Shall forever
you've got the power.
Be precious.
Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You've got Christ in you,
you've
got power
Jesus,
to make the right decisions.
With all of my heart,
come see the preacher before you leave.
I love you, Lord
come
Jesus,
see Brother Paul before you leave.
With all
come see somebody.
Of my heart,
don't leave here without Jesus.
Dying on Calvary, for giving me victory.
Understanding our salvation.
I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart.
We're done, preacher. We're done, preacher.
Amen. Look up here. I'm going to cancel the men's choir practice right now. I just want for people to be in this attitude of prayer. And some people raised their hands here just a few minutes ago, and I'm just going to hang around up here. And Paul, I want you to come up here and hang around. And if you need to talk to somebody, we'll be hanging around here. Okay? And Brother Hardman, just hang around. We're just going to hang around for you. And if you want to talk to one of us, pray with us. We're just going to be right up here. We'll keep it quiet. Rest of you, just keep it quiet, all right? Us guys, we can practice another time. We don't have to practice right now. So we're going to do that because I think there might be some people in here that might need a little bit of help. Amen? And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to help you. If you're a lady, we'll have one of our ladies, Mrs. Hardman's right here.